Welcome back to another episode of the Mac Rumor Show. As you can see, we are in person yet again. Hartley, how's it going today? Nothing happened at all?
No, just an ordinary, unremarkable day in Apple News.
We're being sarcastic. This is obviously going to probably be posted earlier than normal, if you're wondering why. We got a brand new iPhone, a new member of the family, as Tim Cook said.
That makes a little bit more sense now.
Yes, and it's surprise, surprise, new name change. How do you feel about the new iPhone 16e and no more SE? That name is gone.
Well, I know that based on our conversation last week, I was a little bit skeptical about that. But I think actually now, having thought about it a little bit more, and at the price point this device is at, so this is $599. This is more than we were expecting, about $100 more. I mean, we were actually at one point expecting it to be around $479, something like that, about 10% more expensive than the iPhone SE 3. But actually, at this price point, I think it does make sense for this to be more of an iPhone 16. Now, where this gets muddled, of course, is that the 15s are still on sale, and that is a pretty mixed bag on whether it's worth buying a 15, which is $100 more than the 16e, or whether you're better off saving that money and buying a 16e.
I think it just kind of depends on what's important to you, no?
Yes, but I think that when it comes to looking at the lineup as a whole, that is a problem, but it's only a problem for the next 6 or so months before the iPhone 17s come out.
And right.
When they do, the lineup as a whole will make more sense, because then, just like the SE did, the lineup will, not only in terms of price, but also in terms of actual specifications, will start at the lowest end with the 16e. And I wouldn't be surprised if this device runs on a two-year upgrade cycle now. So maybe there will be no 17e, but there might be an 18e, and we do this again.
So let's go over like what the iPhone 16e has, and then we can kind of go through what you don't get, and then kind of figure out where it makes sense to upgrade where. So the iPhone 16e comes basically in an iPhone 14 body. I know we're like kind of putting it as a 16, but it is an iPhone 14 body.
Well, it's an iPhone 14's display.
Display.
So it's a fraction smaller.
Right.
I imagine there's larger bezels because the actual number of pixels is slightly lower.
Yeah.
And I assume that's due to the bezels being thicker, but it is ostensibly an iPhone 16's body. It's the same size. It's got that slightly more rounded look to it. But you've still got that notch from the iPhone 14, which is interesting, of course, because we've never had an Apple Intelligence device with a notch.
Right, that's true. So yeah, basically the front of an iPhone 14, the back, basically what you would remember from any iPhone over the last however many years, except there's a single 48 megapixel camera on the back. It's a two-in-one, you know, fusion, basically saying that you get the 2x optical. So that's nice, but you're not getting an ultra-wide, you're not getting a telephoto, obviously.
But I don't think you really need that ultra-wide.
No.
I think that this is actually pretty near the perfect camera. If
you're
going to have one camera.
This is the one you want.
And at 48 megapixels, you can take some really great photos of that. And I personally, at least on my iPhone 16 Pro, quite frequently like to crop into to 2x anyway. So I would be really happy if I had a 16e with that.
We do get a USB-C port.
Yes.
So, and we do get an action button.
And now you can activate visual intelligence.
Yes.
With the action button, which is new. So I wonder if that's also going to come to the
It should, right? So the 15 and the 15 up. I mean,
15 Pro.
15 Pro.
Although, can the 15s do visual intelligence? They can't.
Why not?
It's only a 16 feature.
Well, right, but I'm saying is, couldn't it not be, isn't it just a software thing?
Yes, but we know how Apple
works. Right, okay, I thought you were like trying to pull one over. I mean, I'm like, wait, what are you talking about?
As far as I remember, visual intelligence was unveiled as an iPhone 16.
It was, but we all thought it was because of the camera control button, because that was the only way you could launch it. Now, the 15 lineup does have an action button.
And I guess anyone that was going to buy an iPhone 16 for that has pretty much already done it at
this
point. So,
if you have any of the 15 phones, I would hope that this would come. Maybe it'll come in 18.4 at the time of recording this. We do not have 18.4 yet, but hopefully we do. But yeah, I mean, there's no reason why that couldn't be flipped on, in my opinion. And then moving forward, any phone, you know, should probably have it anyways, but it's pretty cool that they showed that. So you do get visual intelligence. Do you use visual intelligence a lot?
A lot? No.
Yeah, no one does.
Do I occasionally remember that it exists and try it? Yes. I mean, last week when I was in LA, when I was sort of looking at interesting buildings or landmarks, I didn't know what they were. I did actually find myself using it for the first time, which was quite interesting in a real world scenario. Now, it didn't work perfectly. And actually, I sort of think it would have been easier to, considering that visual intelligence wholly relies on ChatGPT, just open the ChatGPT app and do that anyway, which you could do on any iPhone.
Yeah, pretty much. So, I mean, if visual intelligence was something that you really wanted, you can get it on the 16e, or hopefully it comes down to the 15, but you're right. It is technically a 16-only feature, and because this phone is a 16, they figured out a way to get it to miraculously work without camera control.
Even though it is powered by ChatGPT, which runs on any device.
Yes, yeah, exactly. Anyways, moving forward. So we have action button, which is cool. Anything else to note about the body? I mean, it's pretty much a hybrid 14-16, basically, is what we're thinking.
I mean, effectively, there's not a whole lot with the design.
Yeah.
I think for what it's worth, it looks very good. I quite like the fact that there's just two color options as well. I think that makes it way simpler. I think that if you are actually going to upsell people on colors, just offering two options is fine. And actually, if you're going to have two options.
I'm sorry. We have lapel mics, so I don't know how well this is like being picked up on here. It is absolutely, like, I feel like the house is going to come down. It's raining so hard that I'm genuinely concerned that if what's still outside when we look out there, it's very distracting, but hopefully it's not being picked up. If so, I apologize.
You may have to use some AI voice isolation. So maybe this commentary will just be dead silence in the background and it will sound like we're slowly going
back. Hopefully, but it is like thunderous rain that's happening right now. It's so distracting. I'm sorry, keep going.
Hey guys, just want to take a quick break to talk about today's sponsor, Mando. Valentine's Day might have already happened, but February is still a month for love, and perhaps you find yourself on a first or second date, and you're looking to make sure that everything is perfect. Now, personally, in years past, I'd get a fresh haircut, maybe a new outfit, but what was non-negotiable is obviously your hygiene. You need to put on deodorant, and that deodorant should be Mando. I've been using Mando for a bit now, and I am full steam ahead with it for this year. I got the body wash, the lotion, and of course, the deodorant stick for my pits, and the deodorant wipes for everywhere else. I'm actually traveling at this moment and I've got a full toiletry kit stocked with just Mando products. Mando was created by a doctor who saw firsthand how normal BO was being misdiagnosed and mistreated. It works for 72 hours straight, no matter what you're doing, whether it's holiday shopping, working overtime, or sitting through a marathon of family dinners. It also comes in some awesome scents like Bourbon Leather, Mount Fuji, Pro Sport, and Cloverwoods. Mando's starter pack is perfect for new customers. It comes with a solid stick deodorant, cream tube deodorant, two free products of your choice like the mini body wash or my personal favorites, the deodorant wipes, and you get free shipping. As a special offer for listeners, new customers get $5 off a starter pack with our exclusive code. That equates to over 40% off your starter pack by using code MAC, M-A-C, at shopmando.com. Thanks, Mando, for sponsoring this episode.
So what I was going to say was, if there are going to only be two colors, these are the only two really that make sense. It almost reminds me of like the iPhone 5. You could only choose white and black. So it's a little bit nostalgic in that way.
It's a little lame, personally. I think.
I mean, it's not exciting.
Yeah.
But it makes sense that if you're going to upsell people.
People really wanted the product red. Are you disappointed that product red seems to be going away in terms of devices and just kind of be like a holy accessory thing at this point?
I don't know if I'd say disappointed. I've never had a product red device.
Dude, do you remember the product red? I think it was the 8 or 7 plus.
The 7 was the first.
The 7, one. Yeah. Oh, that was like the big size
that
7.
That was a big deal.
Yeah, and then people were figuring out ways to switch the white, like, because it came with a black front, but people were taking parts
I think it came with the other way around.
Came
with white.
Came with a white
on the
front.
7, and then on the 8, they gave it the black front.
That's what it is. Okay. But people were taking other phones that had a black front that matched. I forgot which way, but you're right. And I kind of like the white and red. I thought that was really good. Yeah. Like, that's cool. I know you can't really do that nowadays. Yeah,
the days of white bezels seem so abstract now.
I think like a white coated frame would be really cool. Like it's still the color, but like, I don't, you know, like the Apple Watch, like a ceramic coating, like maybe not ceramic for the actual material, but like kind of make it look like that. Anyways, off topic. But yeah, I mean, that's pretty much the inside or the outside. The inside is where things get a little interesting. We do get an A18 chip, so you do get Apple Intelligence. I don't know that we need to run through all of the list of Apple Intelligence features, but...
It's worth mentioning that that A18 is a binned version, so this is less powerful than the A18 that you get in the...
They can't just give you a 16, folks, otherwise there's no reason to sell the 16.
I mean, the 16 is $200 more expensive.
Yeah.
That's quite a big jump, so there have to be some trade-offs.
We'll go through those, too, because we kind of want to see like where we're at, but just going over things that are new here, so... A18 chip, kind of comparing it to the last iPhone SE, because this is what is replacing, you know, basically it's replacing that lineup. There's no more iPhone SE. Do you think the Watch SE now, like, is the SE moniker going to be in danger?
I don't think so with the Apple Watch.
Okay.
I think that the direction that they're taking the Apple Watch is different. So effectively what they've done with the SE here is move it up market. They've given it more advanced specifications to the point where it's actually quite a bit more expensive. And it's not quite a flagship, but it's near Apple's latest iPhones.
Yeah.
Comparatively, the SE Apple Watch should be moving down, moving down in price and moving to a plastic casing. So, and also with a display size that is different to the what will be the Series 11, I guess.
Yeah.
That's quite a significant difference. So I suppose in that instance, maybe the SE is still justified. I mean, what are we going to call it? The Apple Watch Series 11E?
Yeah, so that's the other thing, is that this jumped up to the 16 name. It's the 16 lineup, basically. It's another cog in it. So it did get a 16-style price bump, basically. What was $429 for an SE is no longer. It is $599.
And it replaces the iPhone 14 at that point.
It does. Actually. There's no more iPhone 4. So it's 15 up, 16E and up. And then in a few months, 6 months, we'll have the 17 lineup, and then we'll go from there.
It'll make a little more sense, I think.
It will.
Because right now, that 15 is in a little bit of a strange place.
So with the A18 Pro, or A18, but you do not get a Pro. You get the normal A18, but bin down. But then you also, you know, get Apple Intelligence, which is cool. You get the gaming features that you would want, you know, a little bit more performance based, some stuff there. Even though it's been down, it should still play a lot of those games pretty well, don't you think?
I mean, it's still considerably more powerful.
Yeah.
Consider that the iPhone 15, which is still on sale for $100 more, has an A16 chip. So you're going from 18 to 16 and you pay $100 more.
Did you see the info that's going around that they're comparing it to an iPhone 11? It was 80% faster or whatever than an iPhone 11. It's like, why are we bringing that in? Is that like what Apple thinks is the like next group of people that would be interested in upgrading, but maybe not to like something crazy? Like if you're holding on to your 11, you probably think like that's good enough for me. But like maybe I'll jump up to something that's not crazy and won't break the bank.
I think probably those are the people that are going to be most interested in this device. Probably people with an iPhone from maybe 2020 or earlier.
Like if I didn't get my dad an iPhone 15, I would have gotten him this.
Yeah.
This is like the perfect, I mean, just like what the SE was for.
If anything, it's more appropriate. It's cheaper and it's more future-proof because you've not only have you got Apple Intelligence, and I know that we've been quite critical of some aspects of Apple Intelligence, but the reason why it's important is not because it has it now, it's because it will have support for Apple Intelligence in years to come. So whatever is coming with iOS 19, iOS 20, this device will support. And that's key. That's why I could not really conceive of buying an iPhone 15 right now.
Yeah, that's
tough. Not to mention the battery life as well, because that's especially important for a device that you keep for a long time.
That's what I wanted to get with. If you own this phone or end up buying one, you will be further ahead of people who own a 16, 16 Plus, 16 Pro, and Pro Max, because there's a new Apple custom modem, the C1 chip. This gives you what Apple said is the most power efficient modem this is the first one they've ever done. So it's super power efficient, which would lead to some significant battery life. I believe it's got 26 hours.
27. So it's 6 hours better than the iPhone 16.
It is, I think that's right. It's 26-hour battery life.
26.
22 for the 16, 27 for the Plus.
Right.
So it's, right, you're getting plus-size battery, basically, in a 6.1-inch form factor. So that's really good, because a lot of people have complained with the 16 and the 16 Pro, especially, that battery life isn't still as good as obviously some of the other bigger phones. So like the fact that this modem alone is giving you, what, 4 to 5 hours of battery life? That's insane. And so also, Apple says it's going to lead to better connectivity, obviously with 5G connections out there, just better cell service. I have no way of testing that right now. That's going to be something that I, even when I get my unit, it's going to be a long time until I can tell you if there's a noticeable difference. But, you know, it's the start of something that could be really big. Like, this could be huge. I also think it might trickle down to Max.
I think it's inevitable. I think that
finally,
what is going to happen here? It was only such a fleeting mention in the press release, and Apple really has not made a big deal out of it. And it's not made a big deal out of it because other than the efficiency gains, this probably is not as good as a Qualcomm
not component. Not yet.
That doesn't matter. The fact is that technologically what Apple has managed to engineer here is very impressive considering that this is what Qualcomm's whole business model is made out of. And Apple has done this through acquisitions and 7 years of work. So where this goes next with a C2, a C3, is really interesting, especially if ultimately the C line of chips is integrated directly into Apple Silicon and it's part of the same chip. And at that point, we really do get it built into the Mac, built into the Vision Pro.
iPad. There's no reason why it wouldn't be in the iPad, right?
I mean, the iPad would probably be the next one, especially the entry-level iPad with cellular. It wouldn't even surprise me necessarily.
If it's like in a month or two.
If that is right around the corner. And we slowly see this custom modem proliferating through devices. And anyone that buys this iPhone 16e is not going to be buying it for that modem.
No.
But it's a nice perk. Eventually, I mean, you might be buying a Mac that's singularly because it has a C4 chip in it.
Yeah. Hopefully we're not waiting that long. Yeah. But yeah. So what else would there be that's massively different? Trying to think. I think the new stuff of the phone, just trying to think of everything. I think we hit everything.
Yeah, what's more interesting is...
Hold on, sorry. Charging. So no MagSafe.
That's what I was going to say, yeah.
Okay, well, there we go. We're on the same page. No MagSafe. No Qi 2, because you need MagSafe. So Qi, wireless charging, just the standard one there. So, and no Ultra Band chip, right?
No Ultra Wideband, yeah.
Or Ultra Wideband.
Neat precision finding, which is a shame because I actually feel like that's quite useful.
Yeah, the iPhone SE was so old that doesn't really, I can't look into that for like why they would take that out or not include it. Is that really such a higher end feature? I feel like that's something that you would want for every iPhone.
MagSafe matters more to them, I think.
Yeah, I just gave my dad some MagSafe accessories and he was like, this is really cool. I didn't know that I could just dock my stuff like this.
No wallets, no chargers, no docks. Even the cases don't have it. So I suppose what we will actually end up seeing are third party cases that add those magnets.
Yeah.
But it's not going to be the same experience, really.
No. All right, now, do we want to kind of break it down into where it falls in the lineup? Like, what would you buy between a 15?
To me, it's
15's out.
To me, it's clear-cut that there's very little reason to buy a 15. I think the only reason why you might buy a 15 is if you're interested in the 15 Plus, because you want that bigger display, and that is a red line for you. Mm-hmm. And because there is no large display option at the low end, you have to go for that. But bear in mind, at that point, you're spending an extra $200. The other reason would be you depend on an ultra-wide camera for your job or something like that.
Yeah.
That makes it essential.
Who depends on an ultra-wide camera for that?
Maybe if you work in real estate or something where you need to take a picture of a room and you need that larger angle. Or there are
people that
need it. I imagine that's very rare, but those people exist. And also, there generally are a sort of richer array of photography features on the 15. So if you were a very keen mobile photographer, and it's not just about the ultra wide, you want next generation portraits, and you want cinematic mode and action mode, you will have to spend that extra $100.
But
it's worth noting really that if you spend that $100, you're losing 5 hours of battery life?
Well,
and Apple Intelligence.
That's where I want to, let's go through the list now. 16e versus 16. I don't think we need to worry about the Plus because there is no Plus size to 16e. So if you're looking at a Plus, you're looking at a different phone. But between the 16e and the 16, if you're like, help me out, I want to get one of those two, is it worth the extra $100? $200? $200.
Yes.
To jump to a 16. Yeah, $599 to $799. So Notch. Notch was, in 2017, was hammered, you know, because of how awful it was. But I think people are fine with it now.
It's more so, I don't even think it's so much about the look of the Notch. I feel like people are over that. I think people love the Dynamic Island.
Do they? Because I was going to say, Dynamic Island comes on the 16. You think people love it that much?
I think people love I think the ads for that with the iPhone 14 Pro are very effective.
Mm-hmm.
And all of the animations, I think, are very attractive to pretty ordinary consumers. And it makes it feel like a more up-to-date device from the front. Everyone knows, the cameras change, the colors change in the back. But it's the only way, really, at the front, you can tell you've got an up-to-date iPhone. So for some people, I imagine they will care about that. It's part of what justifies a $200. For me personally, I would just have the Notch.
Yeah, I don't care. I mean, I do like the live activities.
I do use it.
Yeah, I do. I don't use it. How do I phrase this? I don't use it on purpose. That's what I'm going at. Like, it's not. It's something that happens in the background. Like a sports game comes on, and you know the basketball game's on, and the score pops up on. Like it's something that just happens in the background. But it's useful for that reason. But I'm not like, let me put my, let me put music on and go in. And then I'm just like specifically, I don't ever
use it
that way. It's not like an on-purpose thing, but it's nice to have.
I appreciate it's there, but
yeah.
I would be happy to let it go. And in that case, if we're looking to try and make this device more budget, I think it's a very sensible decision.
Does it really make that difference, much of a difference in terms of like budget-wise for Apple to cut it? Or is it just more of like, we need to find some things to...
I think it does make a pretty significant difference. I mean, they've got to use all those panels that were intended for the iPhone 14.
So 6.1-inch, well, the ceramic shield is... So technically, the glass isn't as strong as what you would get on a 16. You know, so if you're clumsy, that's something to keep in mind. 6.1-inch, they're both the same. 800 nits, it's not 1,000 nits, which is what the iPhone 6, so it's going to be a little... It's 200 nits less in brightness. Is that something the average person's going to notice?
Indirect sunlight.
Probably not. Yes, peak brightness.
It may be noticeable. And also, it doesn't get as dim either. So if you use your iPhone at night...
Well, you don't get the 2,000 nits of outdoor brightness. That's huge. That is actually something that is, like, a godsend if you're outside.
But again, I can't see anyone who's considering this device thinking, it's not going to be quite as bright outside, so I'm going to spend an extra $200.
No. Glass back or color-infused glass back. I don't know that it matters. I mean, you're
Whether you want a color or not.
Yeah, basically. You get it in black and white. The iPhone 16 comes in white, black, ultramarine, which I do really like, teal and pink. Camera control. Don't get camera control. I don't know that you're missing out. What do you think?
I don't like camera control.
Okay. So you get a 12 megapixel ultra wide. Obviously, we've talked about this. You don't get an ultra wide on there. Do you need it? Most of you probably don't, so you'll probably be okay. But if you said, Hartley, shout out to the realtors out there who need that ultra wide. If you're one of those people, then that's probably a reason to go for a 16. But if you don't care, then you're fine. Optical image stabilization, the sensor shift. I don't. The average consumer even know what that is.
It's
just better stabilization.
That's why I say, there are a lot of these individual photography features. No one is going to spend $200 to get cinematic mode on their iPhone
or photographic styles. But I do like photographic styles.
I actually really
is that like worth $200 though?
No, but I don't think any of these features single-handedly are. I think this just becomes a when you're looking at the 16e versus the 16, it is a question of how much do photography features matter to you? How much does MagSafe matter to you? It's those sorts of things, really. You have to look at it as a whole.
I mean, yeah, you're right. If you're somebody who cares about the modem, the Wi-Fi 7 connectivity over Wi-Fi 6, the Thread connectivity, ultra-wideband chip for precision finding, and Qi2 charging with MagSafe, then you're probably, if you even know what any of those things are, you're probably already in the decided camp of you should get a 16.
I think that probably sales of the iPhone 16 and the 15 are going to fall considerably after the launch.
You think the 16e is good? I feel like it's everyone that's not...
I think it's that good.
But we say this every year, and then everyone just buys a Pro Max because they just want the...
Yeah, but I mean...
They want the latest and greatest.
Most people still will buy a Pro Max,
yeah.
But the market share of those existing devices, the 15 and 16, I can imagine will drop, because I think that there are many people who currently buy those devices who just don't need it and would be quite happy to have something like this with the promise of, especially for people considering a 15, oh, well, this has longer battery life and Apple Intelligence, and it's cheaper.
It'll be very interesting to see how the sales are for this phone. And if this tanks, then
I can't see this tanking. I think this is a guaranteed success.
People are really mad that it's $599 now.
Well, those people are not people that are going to buy an iPhone 60.
Well, and why are they mad about it?
Because they're looking at it as though this is an iPhone SE. But
yeah,
the whole reason they've not called it an SE is because it isn't. The whole reason why, even when we were talking about the event invites, we were saying it's a little bit strange because it looks more premium. Well, this is why.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a problem. And I think that what will happen with this device is this will come down in price.
Oh, yeah, it's not going
to
be...
I think that this is very similar to the iPad 10. Mm-hmm. The iPad 10 debuted, I believe, at $499. It then dropped to, I think it was $399, and then down to, is it now $329?
Mm-hmm.
That's a long way it's come down.
Yeah.
When the iPhone 18 comes out in 2 years' time, if this device is still on sale, by then it will have dropped down considerably.
Yeah, but then you're looking at old stuff,
but
a little bit.
But by then, you consider, say the SE3 was on sale until this morning. That device was so outdated.
Yeah. I mean, this is the phone for kids, grandparents, parents, anyone in between who just wants a good iPhone that doesn't care.
Your first iPhone. What a device.
Yeah. If you want to test the waters, well, maybe. If you're coming from Android, I feel like you want to be wowed.
What you're coming from, Android.
Yeah.
I think for most people who have never used an iPhone before, or rather never owned an iPhone before, this is the device.
Yeah. I agree. I think it's a good device personally. Overall, I think you're getting a lot of upgrades.
I think the one feature that disappoints me the most that it's not there is MagSafe.
Yeah, that is disappointing. I just assumed it would be in there too.
I mean, I don't blame Apple for that, because I think that there do need to be differentiators to push people up to the 16. So I understand that things have to go. It's just a shame with that one, because I think that some of those charging stations and accessories are really good. Think of like the little travel chargers you can get.
Still charge on it.
The experience is
especially if you get the ones that just lay flat. You're right. But like, I come to think of it, I would never thought I'd ever say this, but I can't live without MagSafe because of the travel accessories that I use all the time.
Say like a car charger. Just a car stand, that you have in your dashboard. MagSafe makes that so much easier.
But there is a workaround, so if you really do care.
And probably case manufacturers will.
Sure, someone's going to figure it out. But yeah, I mean, if you just want native stuff to work, then I guess that is a bummer for you. But, I mean, you're getting Apple Intelligence. We should be getting Siri soon. Do you want to talk real quickly about that? Like, I don't think it's coming anymore. Not right now. We're supposed to be, we're recording this right after the event, so by the time you hear this, you know, it's whether it's Thursday or Friday, it might be 18.4, but we don't know if Siri's coming.
It probably isn't.
Yeah, we were really set on it coming, and now
it's... a long time, but
yeah. I think
the whole rollout of Apple Intelligence has been really slow as a whole.
Yeah.
Which is not surprising, because when these new Siri features were showed off. So this is all the personalization. It's the ability to make a complex request and then for Siri to take multi-step actions on your behalf across multiple apps, understanding a whole load of personal context. It was so cool when that was first unveiled.
Yeah.
But incredibly ambitious.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember watching that thinking, I really need to see this in practice, because this feels so far away from what the iPhone can currently do. So I'm not really that surprised. It's just a bit of a shame.
Yeah. I was really hoping we were going to get that. And we're not even talking like we're going to get it, you know, in a full release. We're talking beta. Like, it was supposed to be 18.4 beta this week, and it still is going to happen,
Well, not get it now until
19?
But it wouldn't surprise me if we're staring down the barrel of iOS 19 being announced by the time we get this.
Oh, like WWDC. So ideally, 18.4 comes out this week with or without the features. It should be looking at an April release, right, for the public? right around there?
Probably, yeah.
Okay, so if it comes out in April, yeah, if it gets pushed like that, could very well be like April where we start seeing it in beta form.
It's also a question of what that looks like when it debuts, because I would be very surprised if it actually looks anything like what was unveiled at WWDC. I wouldn't be surprised if it was instead quite isolated experiences that you can take multi-step actions from these three or four apps. You can't do the whole system. You can't ask a whole variety of things. It will be an initial taste of where this is going.
This is where I like go back to that mantra of like, man, it was great when Apple was like the last one to do things, but they were the best one to do things. I think they should have just waited until they were all... I'm starting to agree. I was kind of like, yeah, you know what? They just rolled them out. It's like a soft launch. They'll get like some user opinions on how things are going, and then they'll fix it. And we've seen what Samsung and others can do, and they're quite better. And like Google Gemini is so good that like, I don't know. How are they going to catch up? I feel like there's a really large gap. Mm.
I think there is. And I think the reason why people get more angry about it with Apple Intelligence is because Apple marketed it so heavily.
So much. iPhone 16 with Apple Intelligence. And that's even, like the full name. Yeah,
even though the iPhone 15 Pro is equally capable other than visual intelligence, of course.
It's not equally. Can't do visual intelligence.
Yes, which is just ChatGPT. It's just an
image. And Google image search.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's actually not an Apple feature.
No.
But it only works on the iPhone 16.
I do think the like pointing it at the restaurant and getting like a card style, that is technically an Apple feature because it just pulls like the maps kind of cards, you know? I'm talking about like when you did the landmark stuff.
That's not AI. That's just
no.
Like, I mean, you could have built it is that cool 10 years ago, couldn't
well,
you?
That's the mistake of them saying that it's AI. They didn't really say that it was AI, did they? I mean, they just added the word intelligence to it. We just assumed, and it was launched alongside all the other alongside the phone.
They marketed it as an AI.
Did they
feature.
Though? Did they specifically say visual intelligence is an Apple intelligence feature? Because I don't think they did. I think they were just talking about the camera control.
But it literally uses ChatGPT, just like the other Apple Intelligence.
But that's not tech. Well, no, writing tools doesn't use ChatGPT all the time.
No, but
and anima like all
Apple
those
intelligence, many
Animoji, Chenmoji.
Only, as far as I know, Apple Intelligence features use ChatGPT. No, non-Apple Intelligence feature uses ChatGPT officially. So therefore, visual intelligence must be an Apple Intelligence feature because it is AI. ChatGPT is AI,
yeah.
And therefore the iPhone using it officially.
I don't like that though. I don't like that because it's not their product.
But then Siri ChatGPT integration is not their product either.
But no, you're right, and that's why they shouldn't call that. But they do. You're right. You're right. You're right. But that means that like all like the Image Playground and all those are not ChatGPT based.
No, that's
those are Apple Intelligence. And Cleanup,
yeah,
not very good. Technically an Apple Intelligence feature.
Apple Intelligence.
Cleanup is good. We should, real quick, Cleanup is good. It's
Cleanup
just,
is really good.
It's good, but it's not, what people did, including myself, when they put it up against Samsung, is that's a different feature. But like that's what I think more people want. Generative edit too. Can we get both? I'm guessing it's coming.
I really like the Cleanup tool.
Did you use it better than the Samsung one that can fully replace
things? I don't have access to the Samsung one, so I don't know that it's a better life.
Well, yeah, it is better. Although it gave me like a wonky eye, I'm not gonna lie, I didn't like that. But like, it's amazing that it like kind of it guessed. It's like, I guess your eyes are like this, and it did a pretty good job. Apple just removed my eyes, which is terrifying. So, yeah. If you don't know what I'm talking about, we posted a short where we did a little generative edit versus whatever Apple's is, content aware fill basically. But yeah, when it does, you know, work, it works really well. But that's kind of, I feel like that's kind of the whole theme of Apple Intelligence. When it does work, it works really well. Is that going to be the theme of Siri in 18.4, 18.5, whenever it comes out, the whole context aware? Like one of my personal favorite things that I saw was like filling out flight information. That was like one of the, in one of the Mac videos, maybe they were talking about it when they announced the MacBook Pro. They were like, and later this year, you're going to get this Siri feature where it can, you know, contextually be aware of like your personal info and, you know, you're filling out flight information and it like pulled from passport pictures and like other information and it filled everything out and you didn't have to do that. It's like, that's useful. That's what I want.
That's what it needs to do. But we've seen nothing like that.
We saw it one time in a quick video.
But we've never actually seen
tested it.
in the real world, I feel really any Apple Intelligence features that are seriously impressive that feel like the future.
Yeah.
They all feel like things that could have been around 2 years ago and not really. I mean, Image Playground, fine. That does feel like AI, but it isn't necessarily really impressive because it's not doing anything better than any other service. It's actually probably not as good as those other image generation services. Notification summaries, all of that. It's just like, it's pretty basic. You could have used... You could have built that a couple of years ago, really.
I guess. I mean, it's easy for us to say. I don't know how complex
but
that is.
They're very late to the party.
All right, so that's the iPhone 16e. It's $599. It's got a lot of things better than what the previous generation SE offered, but it is, you know, $200 less than the current iPhone 16. So, you know, there are some things missing that maybe you might want to upgrade to. Obviously, we've talked about some of the obvious ones. But the one thing that I want to say is now that it's changed names, and I did call this in the last episode, just saying. I know that it wasn't my rumor. Somebody else said it. But I said that I think it was more likely. And now I wondered if Apple would move towards upgrading this every year. Do you think that's possible? Or do you think more like an every other year, every 2 year type deal?
There's really no way to know with a device like this because it just hasn't happened before.
Yeah.
But what I would say is that given that the SE was not upgraded annually, even though it absolutely could have been, and the whole idea is that this device reuses hardware, everything except the modem, we've seen before on something else. Mm-hmm. It would make sense for this to be a little bit more infrequent. And especially when you think about how the lineup will look once the 17s are out, the whole lineup will go 17E, 16E, 16, 16 plus, and then you would go up to the 17s. Mm-hmm. That makes sense. And that would continue to make sense through until the 18s. We don't really need to throw a 17E in there and then have the 16 still on sale with a 17E.
Yeah, I agree. I think every 2 years at least would be fine. And it's probably going to stick with the same name, maybe. I don't know. Apple kind of does whatever it wants, and that's fine. It's their company. They can do what they want. But yeah, 16E, would love to hear from you guys in the comments down below whether you're going to pick one up or if you think you'd get one or recommend one to family or friends. Would love to hear that. And we'll catch everybody in the next episode.